today. Took about 36 hours to get to my house. 36 hours. Okay, that's like the ends of the earth kind of place. And the team came back yesterday around 5 p.m. I got home around 5 p.m. And it was first time in 4.5 years I've been to missions. And this is the first time I took that kind of break. I've been to Africa 32 times, and it's for the last 20 years. And ever since my college, I've been traveling literally all over the world and doing, be part of missions work. So last 4.5 years, because of pandemic, because of my mom's illness, I stayed home. And it was the first time taking this international missions trip. And one of my sentiment was, well, my life could just go by like this, not being part of what God is doing. And I want to share the same thing with you. Your life could just go right by without affecting anything. Not that last 4.5 years it was, you know, nothing. Lord has done, I believe, to my personal conviction for last 4.5 years, he was preparing me, preparing for this trip, and Lord willing, from now on. So that's one of the things that I want to share with you. This missions in Africa, we started 20 years ago. I've been going for 20 years, but for New Heart, for 14 years, we were given 5 acres of land 14 years ago, and we built a mission center through this church. And in the beginning, when the 5 acres of land was given, we raised $100,000. This is 15 years ago, people, through our church plant, and we send it out there, and we built a missionary house, guest house, dormitories, classrooms, and cafeteria. And last 14 years, we sent out a missionary from here, missionary Ruth, who, by the way, is coming back next month after 14 years of ministry there and retiring. And for 14 years, God used that place to do the Lord's work. And I praise God, because without the church, there is no mission. The reason why we need mission is because there is no church. Okay? Church exists so that we could be missionaries like God is. And I think the ironic thing is, if you're not a missionary here, you're not going to be a good missionary there. It makes no sense, right? You have to be a missionary here to testify Christ and his goodness with boldness. If not, doing it over there is kind of fake, isn't it? Right? People think going to mission will make you a little bit more motivated to do to be a Christian and whatnot. That doesn't really work like that, right? But I want to praise God. It's just hard to describe what was done through last couple of weeks. 100 pastors is more than this congregation, just the pastors and church leaders. And we, Lord, urge them to preach Christ, because people in Africa, just as in America, they don't preach scripture and Christ. They preach prosperity, they preach half gospel, they preach what is not of the scripture. You know, I did not mean to focus on that, but it was that message. If you're not preaching Christ, you're preaching something that is not of God. Simple as that. If you're not seeking and studying the word of God, pastors, you are preaching something outside of the scripture, what is not of God. And it makes sense, because there's nothing in you. You're not studying it. You're not meditating it. You're not believing it. In the name of Jesus, you're preaching all kinds of false gospel. It was that kind of week. So it was a real confrontative, like, fighting for the churches. 100 churches, people. I'm not trying to brag anything about what this church was dealing with, but 100 pastors were gathered, 100, from different nations, 6 or 7 different nations. And I just want you to know this was just not feeding people food and, you know, things like that. It was a real battle, as it is the real battle here in America. People don't preach Christ in America. We know that. Period. It's the same. It's not, and it is proven by what Galatians teaches. So in my mind, Lola and Galatians conference had no difference. Okay? And I want to ask you, and I want to thank the church for praying, but are you part of that church and doing what the Lord is doing all over the world in history, in missions? If not, you're missing it, completely missing it. Okay? So I do want to begin with that kind of statement. And the title of the message, and I prepared this message because I was urging pastors to prepare. A lot of pastors in Africa, they just go up and speak whatever the Holy Spirit, they said, what the Holy Spirit put in their head right there and then. I says, that's ridiculous. If there's nothing here of the word, you have nothing you're going to have to say of God. I'm not saying about Africans. This is how it is for Americans too, American pastors too. So I prepared for the last couple of days in a very interesting and difficult situation. And the message for today that I want to deliver to you is, but you are a chosen race. Could you look at me? You are a chosen race. Sounds very special. How many of you think it is special? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Chosen by whom? Let's say someone chooses you for something that's honoring, even if it is a person for whatever. I'm going to choose someone to have lunch with. Being chosen by someone who consider you or count you as precious or loving or love, he or she loves you and worthy, is a great honor and joy and glory. However, the one that we're talking about here today, but you are a chosen race, is chosen by what? Chosen by whom? Almighty God, yes. And if you're not excited about that, you're probably not a Christian. You're probably not a Christian. Okay? Almighty God has his race and his people and a nation. That's huge. That's huge, people. Right? But here, the title is not you are not. You are a chosen race, but you are a chosen race, which implies that there are people who are chosen, and then there's got to be people who are not chosen. Otherwise, the word chosen or election doesn't make any sense. If God have chosen his people, that means there are people who have not been part of that chosen people. Okay? Christianity, if I may add it a little bit more, is about God's choosing. It really is, actually. It's the teaching of the Old Testament as well as the teaching of the New Testament. Okay, we will give you citations from Old Testament and New Testament. It is about God choosing his people. It's about not being choosed. Then you would say, a lot of unbelievers say, then God is not fair. God is unjust. Usually people who understand grace never say things like that, don't you think? But they always say, God is unjust, God is unfair. And Bible knew what you would say. That's why in Romans, is God unjust? By no means. But you are unjust. I am unjust. Every single one of you are unjust and unrighteousness, but God is absolutely just. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, every sin of every person will be penalized. Every single sin, he is God of justice. How do you know that? The cross and the final judgment. Cross and final judgment. Cross is the sin of the believers. Of every sin of every believer in history, he was condemned and he was penalized by the wrath of God on the cross. And if not, the rest of the sin will and must be punished on the final judgment. God is just, but you're not. God desires all men to be saved, but you don't. God came to us, but you don't want to come to him. God gave his life, but you don't even want to give part of your income. You know? And we have nothing to complain. Bible scripture says, Christianity says, God is absolutely just, fully just. Look at the cross and look at the final judgment. But we are not. So people say it's a tension. Yes, there is tension, but God did his part. But you're not responding. You're just kind of keep pushing it off. God is not exciting. You're chosen by race, holy nation. These things don't excite you. Why not? You've been hearing this. You know, somebody said, I've been hearing this all my life, but I'm still not excited. When we go to Africa, it's the same thing in America. They listen to false gospels and prosperity gospels. What's the chance of them really finding out who God is, listening to false gospel? If you listen to false gospel, prosperity gospel, day in and day out, what's the chance of them finding out who God is and what God has done? I don't see any chance. How could one believe without hearing the truth? How could one believe and cry out to the Lord in faith without hearing and believing it? But how is it possible unless you hear it and you're not responding? So that's the introduction. And Peter, author, again in 1 Peter, exhorting Christians who are living in Roman world, living under trials and persecutions of the world, not prosperity, not like what you want, right? You want money. You want to have vacations. That's what you're counting on. You want to buy this, buy that. You don't want to give it back to the Lord who has redeemed you. But he's exhorting Christians who are living in trials and persecutions, and he said, as you come to him, you know, Jesus came to us. Have you come to him? I'm asking you, have you come to him? Yes. Have you come to the end of yourself and come to him? Yes. Except Ty. You be quiet. Talking like African. Have you come to him? If not, why not? And you're always making excuses, just like Africans. You're making excuses. Right? As you come to him, as you are united with him, as you are yoked with him. You know, we went to New Heart Mission Church in Africa. There is a New Heart Mission Church. I was like, what? Church that Pastor Ruth planted in Fishing Village. And I knew it was a New Heart Mission Church, but when I saw the sign that says New Heart Mission Church, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. That's where we are from. We went there last Sunday, and I preached this message, and I want to mention it to you. You are yoked either with Christ or you're yoked with the devil. What does the yoke mean? Yoke is not a very difficult. Two cows. Can you imagine two cows? And they are tied together, yoked together with a yoke. So with an instrument around their neck, and they just put two cows together. Either you are yoked with Christ. If not, if you're not walking and yoked with Christ, you are yoked with the devil and slavery of sin. There's no middle ground, people. We're coming back. First flight was from Entebbe to Doha, which was 5+ hours. And then we have a 9-hour layover there. What a mistake that was. But and then we flew 14 hours from Doha to JFK. And so I have a lot of hours. And I was watching a couple of movies, and I watched Elvis. Anybody watch that movie? It's a pretty good movie, actually. Do you know who Elvis is? Okay, yeah. Elvis is the king of rock and roll, and it's a 2-hour and 40-minute movie. It's a long movie. It's a great movie. Tom Hanks, do you know Tom Hanks? Tom Hanks is the one of the main character who is the business partner, business manager of Elvis, and he's the bad guy. And they are yoked. Elvis Presley, somewhere in Memphis, he was inspired by this Afro-American church revival, which I don't think it was of God. I don't think so. And he dances and shakes his lower body the way he did, which drove a lot of women crazy. And, you know, he was a young man with that kind of talent. And Colonel Taylor, played by Tom Hanks, he's a businessman, and he's like, I forgot his name, King, who made Mike Tyson famous. So he's like that. He's that kind of man. He made Elvis Presley really, really famous. But he was a gambling addict. So he makes Elvis work like crazy all the time and taking 50% of his earning to himself and waste it on gambling. So he has to push him and slaving him so that Elvis would just work and make money. It was funny, last 5 years he performed in this international hotel in Las Vegas every night in live audience. And every time he sings, he's so good, such a great performer, and make everybody exciting and make Elvis feel like I'm the king of this world. But until next evening, until he stand on a stage and do the same thing and see people worshiping him, he is so empty inside. So what does he do? He starts taking pills. And that cycle. But this manager who was yoked with Elvis continued slaving him, making money. You got to make money. He didn't even make him to go abroad. He never left. He stayed in U.S. and that's it. Not like Beatles and Rolling Stones and whatnot, but he was just always in U.S. because of him. And he slaved him around, used him, abused him. And he was living in glory one night and throughout the day, like empty, taking pills. And he died at 42 years old of a young age. Good movie. Give it all, but you know, you could watch it. Who are you yoked with, your life? Are you yoked with Christ? If not, that's how the devil's gonna use you, abuse you. Use you till you drop. And then just don't hesitate to throw it away. But as you come to him, we are yoked with Christ. Okay, and he has come to us. And we are being built up as a spiritual house, living spiritual house, real kingdom, right? To be his holy priesthood. And Peter warns, last time I preached, Peter warns, scripture doesn't hesitate to warn people, and I'm going to do the same. Peter and the scripture warns, citing Isaiah 26:16, whoever believes in him will be honored. If you believe in him, you'll be honored. But whoever does not believe him, you will be in haste. You will be put to shame forever. Whoa, that's not a warning that you should take it lightly, as you've been doing it for years, for some of you. Right? So whoever believes in him will be honored, but whoever does not believe in him, you will be in haste. Why haste? Haste meaning you'll be panicking. Panicking because the judgment will come suddenly, and you're not ready. You're not ready, right? But those who do not believe, citing Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone that the builders rejected, that's Christ. Stone that the Jews have rejected has become the cornerstone, rock of living stone, which will stumble you. It'll stumble you. And it is the rock of offense to you. It's going to offend you. Until you repent fully, the scripture and Christ will offend you. That's a good thing. If I preach the gospel, it's going to offend you. That's why you will persecute me until you repent. Eventually, you will hate me. You'll hate the preachers. We study in Galatians, if you preach circumcision, you're not going to hate me. It takes the offense out of the message. But if you preach Christ, it's going to offend you. Because basically it is saying, you are not the Lord of your life. You are basically a rebel to God, and you need to repent before the Lord. Have you repented before the Lord? How many of you have repented before the Lord as he's the king of your life. Could you say amen?
Amen.
And the rest of you have not. The rest of you have not. Okay? That's the warning the scripture gives. And then he gives this really, really interesting reason. Behold, I am the laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. They'll be honored. Honor is for you, for those who believe. If you believe, you'll be honored. And those who do not believe, I hope none of you are, but those who do not believe, the stone that builders rejected, that's Christ, has become the cornerstone and stone of stumbling. It's going to stumble you. It's going to stumble you. He's going to stumble you. You're going to fall. Okay? And he's a rock of offense. It's going to offend you at the core until you repent before the Lord. You're resisting. Always accusing God for not fair when you are unfair and unrighteous, but he's perfectly fair. Right? They stumble because they disobey the word. You do not take the word of Christ seriously. Whoever is of God will listen to me, Jesus said. Whoever is of Christ will listen to the word of God. You do not listen because the final reason is because you are destined to. You are choose to not to become chosen. Very offensive. Either you've been chosen to be his people or not be chosen. Christianity is about choosing. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. But God desires you to be saved, but you don't. God desires to be united with you, but you don't. God came to us, but you do not want to come to him. God gave his life, but you do not want to give even portion of yourself to him. So you can't blame him. You really can't blame him. Jesus came into this world, and people rejected and despised and killed him. However, he became the cornerstone of this huge living building called church. And he's the cornerstone, precious and chosen by God. Chosen by God. And God has given grace for you to come to him. Have you come to him? I'm going to ask you one more time. Don't diss me. Have you come to him? Are you resisting? So many people are just resisting. God is unfair. God is unfair. Really? And you are fair? Scripture says he's perfectly fair, perfectly just. But Scripture says you are unjust. So you cannot really point a finger at him and say you're unjust. That's so ridiculous. He gave his son so that you may live. So the wonder is why he has chosen this people and not that people. That's not the wonder. But the wonder is why he has chosen any of you. That's the wonder. That has to be the wonder. And if you are saved by grace and put your trust in him, you will know what I'm talking about, what the scripture is talking about. Those who do not believe, the message of the cross, is foolishness. You don't treasure that. You consider that foolish. Money is more important than that. Your pleasure now is more important than that. It's going to make you stumble, people. And he's the rock of offense. Have you repented before him? Okay, today's text. So, verse 9. Those who do not believe, Jesus became the stumbling and the rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. You're destined to do. But you're a chosen race. That's the context. But you are a chosen race. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. A people for his own possession. It's a very famous passage. And I don't know about it, but I was meditating on this in Africa last week. And I see a huge, clear transition. Something transitioned. You are no people now. You are God's people, God's race, God's chosen race. You are outside of the mercy. Now you have received mercy. Something changed in your life. Have you experienced it? Right? Something drastic has happened. And those who believe are being built as his building, church. Those who do not, those who have come to him, and now under Roman Empire, living in suffering and persecution for the time being. If you're in prosperity, you're in the wrong field. Okay? The great change, contrast, transformation. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Do you see the difference? There is a clear intention of the author. Once you were there, now you are here. Can you have that kind of do you have that kind of testimony? I hope you do. I hope you do. Okay? Yes, Christians come to him in faith with life because of his great mercy, because God calls you out. God is calling you. Would you come to him? Come to me, Jesus is saying. Have you come to him? Why aren't you come to him? Because you love whatever you are loving more than Jesus. You're treasuring whatever you're treasuring more than. He draws his people through the message of the cross. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. It is through the gospel, not sweet talk and prosperity. Right? Another strong observation from this list is the adjectives. Okay? Could you look at the adjectives? You're chosen. Chosen by all-knowing God, Almighty God, has chosen you. He knows everything about you, but chosen you. You already sense grace, and you're royal. You're royal because Jesus is. You're yoked with Jesus, and he's the King of Kings. Only reason I'm royal is because of Jesus that I'm yoked. If you're not yoked with him, you are not royal. Okay? Holy. Set apart. He called you out of 8 billion people to, I don't know how many people, but I know it's not the majority. I'm going to say that again because of Mike. Okay? Out of 8 billion people, God has chosen you out, separated, set apart, and that's not going to be a majority. That's Christians. That's chosen royal race, holy, and people for his own possession. We are his. How many of you treasure something in your life? I'm sure you have something. You treasure something in your life. I'm not talking about your wife and your child. I'm talking about a thing, a possession. You want that, and you really want that, and you really, really, really want that. And it drives you crazy. So what do? You sacrifice everything, and you collect, save, and you buy it. So you buy your house. Why is house so important? Because you really want it and you saved up everything and you treasure it. It's your possession. That's why you treasure it. You paid a lot for it. You sacrificed a lot for it. And you paid a lot for it. So you treasure it. God treasures the believers because he paid a lot for it. Think about it, people. God treasures. This is his personal possession. Forever. Forever. House is not yours forever. Your iPad is not yours forever. Your marriage, even your marriage is not yours forever. But to God, believers are his personal possession forever. So he's chosen, royal, holy, and his personal possession forever. That's our identity. That's who we are. Do you know who you are? I'm a Korean. I'm an African. Do you know who you are? What are you? Who are you? Scripture states, the truth states that we are a chosen race. Holy nation, royal priesthood, people of his possession. That's the identity. And the teaching of the scripture is this: you will never find who you are until you know who God is. Do you know God? Unless you know who God is, you will never know who you are. Why? Because we are made in His image. I hope that makes sense to you. You will never know who you are until you see who God is and who God is because you came out of Him. He made you. He made it in His image. You don't know Him. You despise Him. How do you know who you know who you are? If you don't know who you are, how do you know what to live for? If you don't know who God is, how do you know what is right and wrong? In fact, you're living in wrongness all the time. Foolishness. Lies. Because you don't know the truth. You don't know God. So the Bible is declaring, the truth is, we know who I am, my identity, by knowing who God is, knowing God. Do you know who God is? Okay. Going back to the adjectives, I want to describe chosen. You know, I told you I'm going to give you some citations. Deuteronomy chapter 7, listen to this. For you are a people, God is telling the Israelite, for you are a people holy to the Lord. You are a people holy to the Lord. Separated you, your God. The Lord, your God, has chosen you. You are holy because He has chosen you to be the people for His treasured possession. You are treasured by Almighty. Are you treasured by anyone? Do you treasure yourself? Not really, right? That's why you abuse your body and your life, because you feel like you're nobody. Out of all the people who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you. The reason He set His love on you and chose you is because you are the fewest people of all people, but it is because the Lord loves you, and that's why He loved you. He loves you because He loved you. It's not because of your greatness. He loves you because He loved you. He has chosen you. It's a wonder for you, for God to choose any of you and me is a wonder. It's a great mercy of God. Because we all despise Him. We all rebel against Him. We all were haters of Him. Object of His wrath. But He has chosen you and set His love upon you. It is because the Lord loves you, is keeping the oath that He swore to your forefathers, that Lord has brought you out of a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of the Pharaoh, and keeping is Egypt. The reason He's choosing you is because He's a faithful God to His promise, to His word. That's why He taken you out of the slavery of sin and make you chosen race. It's more precious than my dentistry. I say it's more precious than my wife. God is more precious than my wife. I do not hesitate to say that. God is more precious than my children. Absolutely. God is more precious than the church that I serve. Now, church is important. I'm saying my position as a pastor of this church. That's not who I am. God is. John chapter 15, 6, you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you. You rejected me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruits. Acts 13, this is a fascinating one. Listen to this. Acts 13, 48 says, when all the Jews were rejecting Jesus, the message went to the Gentiles. Praise be to God, right? And this is what it says in verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they began to rejoice and glorifying the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Do you treasure the word of the Lord? That's what I was asking to the pastors in Africa. Do you treasure the word of the Lord? Do you open the scripture in the morning? If not, what are you going to preach on Sunday? Something outside of the scripture. You have to, because there is nothing that came from the scripture. They began to rejoice and glorify the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. That's a fascinating statement. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. I don't know whether that word gives you encouragement or give a bitterness toward God. But it gives me encouragement in my ministry, in my missions work. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Can I ask you, does this word upset you? Or does this word encourage you? Okay, a couple more. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you brothers believed by the Lord because God has chosen you. You believe because God has chosen you. Do you believe? As the first fruit to be saved, you're saved because you believed. You believe because you are chosen. You believe because the word has been spoken to you and your ears were opened, not rejecting it. God chose you as the first fruit to be saved through sanctification of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, born of the Spirit, born of God. Believe in the truth. In other words, because God chose you, you're saved, and Holy Spirit worked through the gospel. Gospel is preaching to you, but you don't receive it because you're not part of that chosen group. Revelations, last one, 13, verse 8. On the last day, people will follow the devil. Who will follow the devil? Here is what it says. All who dwell on earth will worship it, the devil. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. You need to take it before the Lord and receive it and reason with him. Are you just? Scripture says you're not, but he's just. Did you come to him? He came to you. Would you be willing to give your life? He gave it all to you. Do you love him? He loves you. That's why he's here. So you got a reason. You can't just argue and be unreasonable. So what kind of people are we? So we are chosen and secondly, royal. Royal priesthood. Now, could you think with me? Royal means kingly and priest means priest. Kings rule and priests do sacrifices. But for them to come together is remarkable. It's so remarkable. Priests are one thing and kings are another thing. Combined the two is really remarkable. But priest who sacrifices to God and king to rule. It's interesting, Exodus chapter 19, verse 6 says, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. It's in the Old Testament. But Israelites rejected the Messiah and eventually executed him. So it is no longer ethnic Israel, but it is the church who put their faith in Christ and with their life. Have you put your faith in him as the church of God? Coming to church will not do the job. Okay? God said to Israel, a kingdom. God promised that they would rule, but Old Testament Israel, they have gone astray and they executed the Messiah. Now God is speaking to the church, okay, to you. Come to me and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know why? Burden is light because he took the burden. Have you come to him? There is only one person who can establish that royal priesthood. Who's that? Someone who is the king and someone who is the high priest. That's Jesus. Amen. Only through Jesus. When you are yoked with him, when you are united with him, when you come to him, you'll be his people, royal priesthood. Otherwise, you are outside of that. You have not been chosen. Okay, only one person who can establish such a house. That is the only one who was the true priest and true king, and that's Christ himself. Is that the king of your life? Have you come to him? Okay. Just two more. Holy nation. We are a nation, actually, and we are set apart. Our life has been set apart. You do not live for this world. You get married for his purpose. You get a job for this purpose. You become a dentist or doctor for that purpose. Don't tell me I'm always struggling. You know, I was preaching to African pastors last week, and preaching Christ or preaching circumcision. Right? Preaching Christ or circumcision. And someone said, Pastor, you don't understand. Unless we preach prosperity in Africa, nobody comes to our church. You know what my response was? Aren't you ashamed to say things like that? I understand where you're coming from. Aren't you ashamed? Did you become a minister to put food on the table? We in America, we did the same thing. When we planted a church at Newhart, I did not have anybody, any support from any organization. I did not raise $150,000 to plant a church. It was just a step of faith. And a lot of times pastor has to work. A lot of times pastor's wife has to work. A lot of times pastor's family has to suffer, not just African, Americans too. We go to Philippines, they have to do the same thing. Don't say that. And then I asked him, if you know Christ, would you not preach him? I just kind of like pricked his heart, his conscience. If you know Christ, if you love Christ, if you're following Christ, would you not preach him? Would you say such a thing? Preaching prosperity, false gospel, is not a small mistake. It's anti-gospel. It's not a small deviation. It's anti-gospel. You need to repent. You really need to repent. Because every single Sunday, you're instead of pouring life onto people, you're pouring poison onto people. Every single Sunday, instead of leading them to Christ, you're leading them away from Christ. I challenged them. Have you come to him, people? Can you look at me and be able to say, yes, Wana Kupenda? You could never say it unless you believe it. That's why I'm asking you to say it. Jesus loves you. Can you say it? Not just kind of like meaningless saying. Lastly, people for his possession, his own possession. We are people, nation, and race if you are in Christ. Those of you who are in Christ, people, nation, and race, would you say amen? Completely set apart. And then there is the rest of you. I know I'm offending you, but I have to. So that you will have a desire to come to him in repentance. Instead of always blaming something, God is unjust. Stop that. You won't even be able to open your mouth when you stand before him. You're unjust. You're going to point finger at him. God will say, look at the cross. I punish every sin of every person of humanity. I am God of justice. But you're not. You're a liar. You're unrighteous. You love filthy things. And you're calling me unjust. We become God's own possession. We are his people, nation, race. Because he purchased you with very, very high price. And that's the blood of Christ. If you believe that, you will not be put to shame. If you don't believe him, you will be in haste. The Bible says you will be in haste. What's the purpose of all of these? Can I just finish this? You are a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that, that's the purpose of your life. That's the purpose of my life, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of him. Excellency, which means the great good work that he has done, the gospel. We may proclaim the gospel of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How many of you know this verse makes sense about your life? He called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Would you say amen? And the rest of you don't know. Still in darkness, probably. Still in darkness. You are in darkness because you don't know what this means. I'm not talking about cognitive, linguistic understanding, but I'm talking about this gospel. Out of darkness, taking pills, being glorified by all these people, Elvis, because you're yoked with a bad manager. All you care about, all he cares about is using you for his benefit. And you love it because you get glorified at night. But during the day, you're so low, you have to take pills all the time. Out of that kind of darkness, into his marvelous light. Do you know what that means? I hope you do. And what is our calling? To proclaim that, the gospel, his goodness, his good work that he has done. To such a wretch as I am. Such a wretch as I am. Please look at me. Wretch as I am and you are. He gave it all. And you're going to say, he's unjust. You're going to blame him. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Let me close. As we finish this section, verse 9 and 10, who are you? Who are you? I'm seriously asking you. Who are you? Korean. Chinese. Is that who you are? I'm a doctor. Is that who you are? Who are you? You will never find out who you are until you know who God is. Because you were made in his image. We are his people, race, and nation, and his personal treasured possession forever. Forever. To explain, to describe the adjectives chosen, royal, holy, people for his own possession. That's who we are. That's who I am if you come to him. You do not come to him and you disobey him because that's the way it was destined to. I'm pricking you so that you will repent. You don't want to come because you are destined to. That's what the scripture is saying. But look at the huge transition that took place. Once you were no people, no army, now you are God's chosen people. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Can you testify and say amen to that? And the rest of you, you need to come in repentance. You're not neutral people, folks. You're not neutral people. You love yourself. You hate God. You don't want to obey him. That's why you're always accusing him. You're unjust. God is not fair. You're always unjust. And scripture knew you. Knew your sinfulness. And yet still want you to repent. That's why he's explaining it. Is God unjust? By no means. By no means. How do you know the cross? What have you done? What have you given to God? Probably nothing. That's why you're blaming him. God has given his son because that's the only way we'll be pardoned from the final judgment. Okay? He's holy. So what are we called to do? Just one thing, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of God, the goodness of God, his great work, the gospel of God. Don't preach circumcision. Not just African pastors. You too. Don't preach circumcision. You'll be accursed. So that we will proclaim the excellencies of God who have delivered, who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who are you yoked with, friends? Colonel Taylor? Tom Hanks? Who are you yoked with? Jesus said, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Have you come to him? If not, you're still in darkness. Still in darkness. Let's pray.